you were holding out any hope that it maybe at least he's not preaching, I'm sorry to disappoint. We are in the middle of a series that we're calling All In that's on a variety of topics in local church life. So we're talking about things like, what is worship? What are sacraments? What's the role of the Bible in the local church? Why should the local church be involved with evangelism or global missions? Why does that matter at a local level? And today we're talking about something that I think is of particular importance to the life of the local church, which is community. And in my opinion, we live at a particularly confused moment when it comes to community for a variety of reasons. The first is that there's nearly, if you were to walk out into a public area today and start telling people that you thought community and being connected to people was important, nobody would really give you a hard time. That's not something that is unique necessarily to religious people or Christians, because even if you're not religious, you'd at least say, well, humans are social animals, like monkeys or dolphins or lions. Human beings need social connection in order to be healthy and happy. And so this is just something, of course, you need friends and family and connection. It's just part of what it means to be human. But they would say it in the sense that you need it like you need a good diet. It's good for you. It makes life better, it makes you live longer, that kind of thing. So that's one thing. It's not that particularly unique of a claim. But this another thing is, and this almost goes without saying, we live in a very digital age, and we can and increasingly do connect with people digitally, online. Even the word community has shifted. People with large numbers of YouTube subscribers talk about the people who follow them as a community. So even the sense of the word is radically different than it's been for most of human history, and then we think about community somewhat digitally, even though digital things inherently put physical space between you and other people. And I'll just say for us in particular, who live in Chesterfield County, we live in an area that is almost, I think, designed to keep your kids busy. And if they want to be involved in sports, or if they want to do really excellent things with school, excellent programs, or, Lord forbid, if they want a job, or all three of those things, you have committed basically all of your evenings, most of your weekends, to being somewhere with them and doing and getting people places. And that makes it very hard to spend time with people in person. And so this kind of soup that we live in is all contributes to make community a very confusing topic for us, I would say. I think we have very confused views on this. And I think that many of us view Christian community not as as something that is important but not essential. It's good, like a diet. Diets are good when I can get to them, but sometimes you can't really do it. Or that community is like visiting extended family. Like, I try to do that a couple times a year, it's good, but there's lots of other important things. But the passage we're going to read today, it's just three verses, and I think just those three verses definitively tell us community, I think the Bible doesn't let you think that way. Christian community is meant to help you see, taste, and touch the grace of God. And therefore, it's not an add-on. It's not something that's nice when you can get to it. It is a necessary part of following Jesus. So we're going to talk about what community is and does, why community is necessary, and how to be in community. Let me read our text this morning from Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Father God, we pray over us reading and trying to understand your word, that your spirit would fill our minds and our hearts as we try to understand and apply this text to our lives. We pray that your son Jesus would be glorified. I pray this in your name. Amen. So Psalm 133 immediately starts out describing community in a way that I think we all intuitively understand, which is connection. nearness and connection. This is just intuitive to us. When we talk about relationships in our lives and we're trying to describe the quality of them, we talk about it in terms of closeness. I'm not that close with her. I've gotten really close with them. We used to be close, but now we're not. We talk in terms of nearness and connection. And I think all of us intuitively know community, being connected with other people, there's some level of bondedness that has to happen. Otherwise, it's not a community at all. There has to be some level of connection between us, or how can we even call it community? Now, on a practical level, in a church our size, it's not possible for you to have personal, intimate connections with every person in this room. It's just not feasible. And yet, if you become a member of our church, there is some level of bondedness or connection that does happen. It's not best friend level, but it's real connection. If you become a member here at the church, at a minimum, you come up and profess together that I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. You also worship with each other each week. You also serve the church in some way. And when you become a member, you come up here and you take vows to everybody. You vow to everybody that here's the standard of life in this community and here's what we're going to do. So there is some level of connection that happens, even if it's not best friend level. But the thing about Psalm 133 is closeness and connection is not all that David wants to say about community. And we know that because he gives us this illustration. And he says that community is like oil falling down the beard and then the garments of Aaron. I remember the first time seriously reading this verse a few years ago and thinking, what kind of illustration is that? That doesn't help me understand community at all. but as I've reflected on it and read people on it, I have come to see this is so rich, this image. And it is so rich, we don't even have time to get into all the details that we could. So I'll just give you three observations about this illustration. The first one is that Christian community, what this image gives us is that Christian community sanctifies. The Aaron mentioned in the passage is Aaron, the brother of Moses, the first high priest of the tabernacle. And we're told in Leviticus 8 that when the tabernacle's finished, Moses goes to the tabernacle and he consecrates the tabernacle with oil, all the things in the tabernacle with oil, and Aaron with oil. And that word consecrate comes from the Hebrew word to holy. So when you consecrate something, you make it holy or set it apart for God's purposes. And so this oil being put on everything, including Aaron, is making him holy, setting it apart for God's purposes, for what God wants to do with it. And if that's what the image of putting oil on something in the Old Testament is, then it tells us that Christianity itself is not just about you going to heaven someday. It is about you being set apart and made holy for God. And then that is something that begins now. And that community is something that does that. That in community, God is accomplishing this. That God uses community to make you holy and set you apart and sanctify you for his purposes. That's one of the things that being in community with other believers does. But second, community restores. So every winter, and I'm sure there's some people who can relate, my hands dry out very badly, and the skin gets dry and cracked to the point I had a student tell me this year, like, you need some, like, extra special lotion or something because it's a little disturbing. But it's a little bit painful. It's a little bit uncomfortable. But my hands dry out a lot, and the only thing that really helps is lotion. And wouldn't you know, one of the main ingredients in lotion is oil. Because oil softens skin, it restores skin, it brings life back to skin. In the same sense, Christian community is meant to restore things. Slowly but surely, restore dry and lifeless people back to health. That without community, we become dry, lifeless Christians. And I think we know this because when you're out of community and you try to do even basic things for the kingdom, it feels exhausting. You get annoyed and angry. You start feeling bitter, and why doesn't this person do more? And I feel like I'm doing so much for the kingdom. It's because you're not doing it in community, and there's no restoration happening there. And so your faith itself eventually becomes self-righteous and joyless. So community restores. But third, community highlights the gifts of its members. So oil, especially at the time, had a very perfuming quality. So you put it on in order to bring out a good smell. But also, if you see oil in sunlight, it picks up light and refracts it in kind of an interesting way. You know, if you cook with oil, it warms up. So oil has this ability to bring things out of it. And I'm guessing that most of you have noticed that there are certain aspects or parts of you that are only activated when you're around other people. I could guess that there's actually probably a lot of great dancers in this room, but we wouldn't know it unless we got them with the right people on the right dance floor with the right song. And in the same way, there's all kinds of things about us that only come out when we're around the right people. And I think nobody has said this better than C.S. Lewis. He, in The Four Loves, he talks about how friends bring things out of each other. And he talks about these two friends, Ronald, who we know as J.R.R. Tolkien, most of us know him as that, he calls him Ronald, and his their friend Charles, who's also a writer. They're good friends. Charles died, and Lewis was sad, but he said it at least in kind of like a silver lining way, at least I'll have more time with Ronald. But he discovered this. He said, in each of my friends, there is something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show all his facets. Now that Charles is dead, I shall never again see Ronald's reaction to a specifically Carolyn joke. Far from having more of Ronald, having him to myself, now that Charles is away, I have less of Ronald. Hence, true friendship is the least jealous of loves. So when we're not in community, we actually miss out on aspects of ourselves and aspects of others because they're not being called out of you by your connection with other people. They're not being called out by other people because you're not in community. So we miss out on fullness. So what is community? It's not less than, but it is more than being connected to other people. It is a place where God makes individuals to be who he made them to be. Now, you might be thinking, because that's what community is, you might be thinking, Jake, that's a lot to get out of oil. That's maybe a bit much. How can being in community really accomplish this? Well, verse 3 in Psalm 133 says it really clearly with another illustration that brings it to life. He says, there, meaning in Christian community, in community, Yahweh, the Lord, commands the blessings of life until eternity. He commands the blessings of life, meaning that God has designed community to do this. This is not just some accidental feature of it. Community has been designed. God has put his blessing of life into it. And then he gives us another illustration, the dew of Mount Hermon. And this draws it out a little bit further. The word here for dew does not mean rain, without getting into the details. There's another word for rain. And so he's talking about dew. When you think about dew, when you think about rain, it rained last night, it rained this morning. Rain is something you see and you hear. When it's falling, you know, because you can witness it. But dew is this thing that kind of just appears, right? Now we know it's not a supernatural thing, like it's the result of temperature decreasing and condensation. But on an experiential level, dew, you go to sleep and there's no dew, and you wake up and there is dew on the grass. From an experiential perspective, it's almost like a supernatural appearance. Dew just shows up. And I think here's the point. Community is able to do all those things, restore, sanctify, connect, call out gifts, because God's supernatural power, God's supernatural work is there. It's just in it. It's a part of community. It's how it was designed. And it can happen, and it happens over a period of time, and you don't necessarily see when it shows up, but eventually when you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, there's dew here. I didn't see all the steps, but here it is. So when God's people get together, God is there doing supernatural work. And I hope you see how unique that is. This is not the evolutionary biological perspective on why connection and socialness matters, where it just says it's my chemistry interacting with your chemistry, and it's millions of years of evolution, and that's why this makes sense. This is saying that community is important and does what it does because God is there doing supernatural work. One of the verses that gets cited a lot in talking about this, about God being present in community, is Matthew 18:20. And he says, most of you will know this, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And it fills you with all those kind of warm feelings about like, yes, one, two or three, that's the church. And that's good, it should. But it comes, if you read the verses before it, it comes at the end of Jesus telling the disciples, when somebody hurts you, here's how you confront them and work towards restoration. Here's how you confront people who have hurt you. And so what does that statement mean? He's saying, when people hurt you, you have to work towards forgiveness and restoration because wounds keep people apart. And when the people are apart, there's some real sense in which God is not working and moving in community because you're separated. So you need to figure out your stuff and your issues with each other ASAP, because if you don't, there is something that you're missing out on. The way theologians like to talk about this is as a means of grace, like a delivery system of grace. Community is a delivery system or a means of grace. And obviously, the Bible doesn't say that's the only means of grace. Scripture is, the sacraments are, there's many means of grace. But this is one that the Bible is saying, this is a way that God shows you his grace. And to ignore that would be to ignore what God is saying. If I were to tell you right now that there was $1 million in a briefcase sitting in the Lucky's parking lot that was free for the taking, I know that there would be a stampede across. High school students first. They would be out the door quicker than anybody. We'd be like, oh my gosh, $1 million. If I were to tell you that Jesus Christ himself in the flesh was sitting at a booth in Geno's across the street, I would hope and expect there would also be a stampede over there. You might think, odd choice, but okay, Geno's it is. But I would expect there to also be a stampede over there. Jesus is over there right now? And yet, when we're told that God's people are gathering for worship on Sunday morning, we go, oh, it's been a long week. I'll definitely go next time. I think the Bible would say, what are you doing? God is there. God's presence, his blessings are there. If it's been a long week, you need this more than ever. I think one of the things this means kind of specifically for us as a church, for all churches, is that families and individuals in our church need to have serious conversations about how often do we want to miss being at worship a year? How many times do we want to not be there? If we really believe what the Bible has to say about community, how often is it important for us to be here? Now, I know that's a loaded question. Obviously, there are reasons that you need to be gone sometimes. But how many are you willing to miss each year? And I admit that's easier for someone like me. This is my job. I'm allowed to miss 3 Sundays a year. And so that's defined my family's life. And that's just is what it is. But I still think it's a valuable conversation for the rest of us to have. Because community is necessary because God shows up in community. Now, how do you do this? I mean, if you haven't noticed, being in community is a high call. It's a high call. And the reality is that being in relationship with other Christians is difficult. Being present for worship, getting together to serve others, being in really vulnerable, real relationships, it's hard. So how do you do that? And it's hard in part because we're very busy. You have to reprioritize your life in order to be with other Christians. That's part of it. It's also hard because some of us don't really know how to do community. Maybe it was never really modeled for us. You know, maybe we want to be involved in other people's lives, but we don't really know how to do it. We've never really seen it done. Or maybe you're actually kind of scared of being known by other people in a real way, so everything is very superficial. Maybe that's part of it. Those are kind of circumstantial reasons. Ultimately, the reason it's hard for us to be in connection and in community with each other is sin. It's sin that makes it hard to love people. It's sin that makes us accidentally or intentionally hurt other people. It's sin that causes you to hurt others. Because one of the fundamental things about sin is that sin breaks down relationships. There's a reason that after Adam and Eve sin, the first thing that starts breaking down in creation is their relationship. They hide their bodies from each other. They start accusing each other. One of the very first curses that God gives them is, this is going to be, the relational dynamic here is going to be difficult. It's going to be breaking down. And I think it's not arbitrary that Psalm 133 at the very beginning talks about brothers being in community. I've spent a lot of time this week in just the first few verses of Galatians. And I was struck by this, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, literally in the next verse, Paul is going to get into some serious accusations. He's going to say, "I am disturbed about what's been going on in your church and how you're giving up on the gospel." But before he does that, before he can get to that, what does he have to say? Jesus has rescued us because God is our Father. God is our Father. And I think the implication of that is, if God is our Father, if he's my Father, if he's your Father, we're siblings. Eugene Peterson says this really the best. He says, "If God is my Father, then this is my family." And I think one of the things we're called, if we're going to do community, be in community, one of the things you have to see is that there is a fundamental shift that happens when you put your faith in Christ. When your relationship with God is restored by faith, the relationship that you have with the Father is restored. Simultaneously, your relationship with other believers should start to be being restored as well. There's a fundamental shift that happens, whether you like it or not, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so Psalm 133 is saying it's really good when brothers and sisters literally lie down or sit down or remain or stay or settle together. This idea of living together, being together. It's good when brothers and sisters lie down and do and live together. The only way that that can happen is by first recognizing that despite your sin, despite your self-righteousness, God has chosen to live with you. He came from heaven to earth, even though you were not worthy of it, you didn't even really want it. God camped out with you. So how can you refuse to camp out with the other people that he camped out with? There's a fundamental shift that happens when we put our faith in Christ, that happens between us and the rest of our family in Christ. Three quick points of application about this before I end this point. In coming to camp out with us, live with us, dwell with us, Christ, Jesus, did not ask us to meet on his turf. He came to sinners. He came from heaven to earth, and wherever he was, he came to sinners and lepers, tax collectors. So community requires pursuit of other people. It requires pursuing other people. Who in our church are you pursuing or actively trying to pull into the life of the church? Can't be everybody. You're not capable of that. And your pastors are not capable of doing that with everybody. So who are you actively pursuing and trying to pull into the life of the church? Second, in Christ coming to live and camp out and dwell with us, he did not ignore our sin. He confronted it with words clearly. It's one of the unique things about Jesus that anybody who was trying to start a revolution or anything would try to get the poor and the needy to come and follow him, but only Jesus tells the poor and the needy that you're sinners. And he does it often. He doesn't ignore sin, and I don't think that we can ignore sin. And so one of the things that means is if we're going to be a community, if you're going to do community, if you're hurt by somebody, you have to tell them. You have to go to them graciously and lovingly and say what is on your heart. What, say, you did this at this time on this date, this is how it made me feel, and you've got to work towards that. I think the church today is very bad at this. Just in general, the church is very bad at doing confrontation with love. We either explode on people, or we just don't do it at all and we go to another church. You need to be able to confront people who have hurt you and do it in love. It's easier to talk about people behind their back and not do anything and daydream about revenge. But you are called to lovingly confront your brothers and sisters. And then lastly, in coming to live with us and dwell with us, camp out with us, Christ did not just confront us and leave us to let us feel bad. He forgave. And so to be a community, a real community, we have to forgive. If you've been hurt by someone in the church, in this church, you need to forgive them. That doesn't mean you don't also confront them. You still should do that. It also doesn't necessarily mean you have to be best friends, but you have to forgive. I would say Christian forgiveness is not dependent upon the repentance of the other person. You have to forgive. So to be in community requires that you reflect on how your faith in Christ fundamentally reorganizes and heals every relationship in your life, including your relationships with other believers. Let me wrap this up. Community is a means of grace. It's a delivery system of grace. It enables you to see and taste and touch the grace that Christ offers. And when Christians get together, God is there. And therefore, it's not just something nice that you do when you have time, like reading Christian books. That's a nice thing to do. You don't have to do that. Being in community is an essential part of following Jesus. It's an essential part of discipleship and growth. Let me close with these two final insights. Charles Spurgeon was talking about Psalm 133, and he made this comment that has stuck with me this week. And he notices how in Psalm 133, when the oil is being poured on Aaron's head, how wasteful it must have seemed. That he's like, to pour, at the time, oil was very precious, expensive. He's thinking, wouldn't just a few drops do it? Like, but enough oil to pour all the way down his beard, all the way to the edges of his cloak, that is a waste. That would seem like a waste. And Spurgeon says, in that very waste lay the point. If I were to ask you what your most valuable asset is, it wouldn't be oil. I would guess 95% of us would say my time. My time is the most valuable thing that I have. From the outside, community looks and feels like a waste. Really, every Sunday? Really, community group every time? Really, inviting another family over for dinner? Don't we have other things to do? It will feel and look like a waste of time from the outside. But being in the presence of God is never a waste. It is never a waste of time. It is the thing worth spending your time on. The last thing I want to say is for anybody who is feeling maybe doubtful about what I'm saying. A few years ago, my oldest daughter, Emerson, had hand, foot, mouth. You get sores on your hands and feet and mouth. Or a couple nights where she was, she had a fever, she was hot, she was uncomfortable, she was crying, she was keeping us up. And we knew a little Tylenol would take that fever down, she'd be able to sleep, that's what she needs, that's what we need. But because she had sores in her mouth, taking the Tylenol was very uncomfortable, and she was spitting it out, and we're going through Tylenol, and we're trying to put it in water and put it in ice chips. And what you want to say to your kid is, I know what you need this. I know you think you don't need this. I think you don't think you want this, but you do. You need this. This is what you need. For one reason or another, there are many of us who find being in community with other believers to be painful. Maybe it's that you struggle to see the point. Maybe it's that you're kind of self-righteous and look down on other believers and think, I don't really need this. I know more than they do. I'm not getting anything out of this Bible study. Maybe you've been hurt by people in the church. Maybe you've been hurt by people in this church. Whatever the reason, you need community because God promises to show up there. To not be deeply involved in community is to tell God that you think he's wrong. And so the scriptures are calling us, believe God. Be in regular deep fellowship with other Christians. You need it. Let's pray. Father, God, our Father, we confess that we struggle to be involved in community in a real way because it makes us uncomfortable. because it asks things of us. It's hard to see the point sometimes, and yet you have commanded in community that the blessings of life there are there forever, not just now, but for eternity. We're going to be spending the rest of eternity with our brothers and sisters. So to avoid it now is a waste of time, a waste of effort. So Lord, would your Spirit work in us so that we want to be in community, and that we're able to see, I pray God for enough blessings early on for us to see the value of community so that we can continue on. But God, give us faith most of all to continue to pursue what your word says is good and true. Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.